Yeah, you missed last 2 weeks. So I'll give it to you some. Blessed be before the presence of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sweet loving Father, here we are in your holy presence. At this appointed time, ordained by you, at this appointed place, Lord. To seek your face more closely, Lord. To understand you more nearly, Lord. And to love you more dearly, Lord. As you sprinkle our most precious blood upon this place, sweet Jesus, we know the power of the blood. There's absolute and tremendous power in this blood. And with this power, Lord, we proclaim everything that is evil to get out of this place, Lord. In your most precious blood. And surround this place with your guardian angels, Lord. So that we may not be disturbed in any which way, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, this is your class. You are the teacher, Lord. We are your students, Lord. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our senses, Lord, that we may be able to understand what you want to teach us this afternoon, O God. Help us, Lord God, only you can penetrate into our hearts and minds and reveal to us what the truth is really is, Lord. And we look forward in anticipation and joy, Lord God, to hear from you, your message for this evening. Mama Mary, continue to be with us, guide us, bless us, protect us, and keep us under your mantle of blue now and always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. For those who are new, we are in the book of Revelation. We are going at a snail's pace, but you know, we are trying to understand practically every word that is in this wonderful book. Last week, we meditated or we reflected upon the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 4. And we just managed to get two or three lines from there. We learned that this book was written to by John in the island of Patmos and was sent to the seven churches in Asia Minor, not the continent of Asia, but Asia Minor. The reason that he sent it to seven churches, we understood last time, although there were more than seven churches, but it was sent to only seven churches because they were those prime churches situated in the prime area. It was like a ring area. And the rest of the churches were very close to these big churches. We also remembered that every letter had to be handwritten. So John preferred to write it to the seven churches because they were the center of all that area. Secondly, he was also popular in those seven churches. So the moment you write to one who is popular, they read it out and they pass it on to the next of the other churches. So that's the way the letters in those days moved about. It was a strenuous task, but it was done to perfection. Then we also realized that John is addressing the churches. Now, when we said seven churches, there was also another thing that said John is quoting seven as a very, constant figure in the entire book of Revelation. Seven in the Christian methodology is a perfect number. Perfection. Seven is perfection. That is another reason why these seven churches received the letters from from John, in the sense that it is for the universal church throughout the world, from that generation unto the end of generations. It is meant for all, including us. That is why it is included in the Bible, and that is why we are learning this in such great details. This is a book which has got a lot of hidden knowledge in it, and we are trying by the best ways to by the help of the Holy Spirit to unearth what is written in this. Okay, so that will help us and bless us and protect us. So this letter is for churches of all generations, right from that time until the end of the world. Then he begins, like all the authors, he begins with a salutation, right? A letter is always begun with a greetings. And he's given us two great words, grace, which we went in length last time, unmerited favor from God coming to each one of us, coming to them and coming to. So he addresses the people with that. You know, once again, we have to remember that John was writing this letter during a time of persecution. Heavy persecution. He himself was persecuted, and the rest of his crowd was persecuted, and he escaped death narrowly. He was put in the boiling oil, but he did not die. And as he was moved out, and since he was so adamant not to die, he was put into the island of Patmos, where he was serving his exile. And from that, and that time he got this revelation from God about Jesus, from Jesus to him through the angel. So it's a long, big, long chain. So he greets his fellow people, Christians, with the word grace, which means, which they know is unmerited favor, that God's favor rests upon us, whether we are good or bad, because God is God loves us unconditionally. Second word was, what was the second word?
Peace.
Yeah, peace is the gap which has been bridged by Jesus from between God and man. By his crucifixion and death, Jesus has brought us peace, the unity between God and man once again. So we went into depth last week. And he gave them the grace and peace from whom? From the one who is, who was, and who is to come. Yeah, the Almighty God and Jesus, okay? Because even as I said, I quoted some verses in the last one, where Jesus said, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's our Brother Alan's favorite song. Am I right? And that comes from where, Brother Alan?
Hebrews 13:8.
Okay? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then, today. That's what we did last time, to the recap. Today we go further. Now see, we are already in the fourth session, I think, of Revelation, but we have not even finished chapter 4 completely, verse 4 completely. But it is no point in just hurrying through and not understanding. So I believe in, you know, going into depth. Only then this study can be interesting, and you can then teach others as well. So we go into the next one, which says, okay, from who is, who was, and who is to come. We finished there. And from the seven spirits. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. But there's a confusion here. We know of God the Father. We know of God the Son. We know of God the Spirit. Right? Holy Spirit. But from where are seven spirits coming down here? Seven spirits, he says. You know, only one Holy Spirit, one Jesus, one God. And how are seven spirits being told here? Well, there is a history in that as well. As I told you, I made a thorough readings. Now, in those days, the Jews believed, first of all, they believed that there were seven angels in the heavenly realm, okay, which is true, and they were wonderfully called the seven first white ones. And you get this in the book of Enoch, which your Bible doesn't have it, but it's another book of Enoch. The Bible is comprised of all these books, which was learned, which was looked into by the scholars of the church at that time. There are many more books which never went into the Bible, right? They all were read and reread, and they found, and the team which formed this Bible found that these are the best scriptural books that could be fitted into the Bible, and that's why this Bible was formed. But there are many, many more books which are not into this Bible. One of them is Enoch, one is Baruch, one is the Gospel of Mary. There are many like that, you know, which are around, but which are not found a place into this Bible. The Bible is just a collection of books, you know that, no? Old Testament and New Testament, totaling 73. Now, so this one is in the book of Enoch, which you cannot refer to anyway. They were all archangels. The seven were all archangels. And in Tobit, if you look into our book, Tobit 12:15, it says, they stand and enter before the glory of God. This is from our book, Tobit 12:15. The archangels stand and enter before the glory of God. Now they are known by, these archangels, seven archangels are known by various names, but most common of the names are Uriel, Raphael, Raguel, Michael, whom we know as Michael, Gabriel, Sikuel, and Jeremiah. These are the seven ones which are named in most of the Gospels, in the books. And these angels, these archangels, they take care of the elements of the world, namely fire, air, and water. They are in charge of all that. And also, they are they look after the nations. They look after the nations. And they are most intimate servants of God. They are always before the Lord. You know, the cherubim and the seraphim and all that, you know, that they are all always before the God. And hence, these Jews at that time thought that John was talking about of the seven spirits, which are these angels. But it is not talking about these angels, because they are created beings. And when God and is involved in that realm, there are no created beings. He's involved with his own. That means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So this particular belief of theirs, which they thought would maybe, is wrong. Then comes the second explanation. If you look into Isaiah 11:2, okay, there is this in Old Testament Isaiah, it has, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, okay, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and piety, and by this Spirit he shall be filled with the fear of God. How many are there? Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, 4, Spirit of knowledge and piety, 6, and the Spirit which is shall be filled with the fear of God, 7. Okay, so it is from this basis of this scripture that great conception of the sevenfold gift of the Spirit, it comes from this one. Okay, so that is why this Spirit is sevenfold. It has got seven virtues, and that is why it is called the seven spirits. It's the same Spirit with seven virtues of which I just mentioned. Okay, so God is gracious enough to give each spirit with these graces. Okay, so you have one Holy Spirit, but with seven virtues. That one belief is there, which has been accepted. And the third belief is what? The third explanation is there were seven churches, right? So God has blessed these seven churches with the seven spirits. So actually, in Hebrews 2:4, we read of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So God, in his graciousness, gives every church his spirit, a measure of his spirit. Not only every church, but every one of us have got the Holy Spirit, right? So we have got, every one of us have the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, although being one, it can be available for everyone at all times. Right, so these seven spirits actually talk only of the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Am I clear? Not so, I think. any question, any doubts? Yeah. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yes. No. I know something, but anyway. Okay, so this is what we speak about the Holy Spirit. Now we go to the titles of Jesus. The next line. From the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. Now Jesus Christ is called. The blessing is still going on. The salutation of John is still going on. Now he goes to Jesus Christ. Okay? And what is he seen? Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Okay? Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. Jesus Christ is the witness of whom?
Of God the Father.
Of God the Father. Right? He has said it. He's right? He has said. Now where in you know Jesus said to Nicodemus, John 3:11, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen." Jesus telling Nicodemus now, right? That I'm speaking of what I know and I'm bearing witness of what I have seen. That is why these Jews were so much against him. Because with confidence, he was telling who the Father is. At one instance, Thomas, I think, asked him, no? Lord, show us the Father. And he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So he's so certain. He's so certain about it. And elsewhere, Jesus said to Pilate, when Pilate asked him, no, what is the truth? For this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. John 18:17. Right? So what is a witness? A witness is somebody who speaks firsthand. If you have seen a certain commotion take place, if you have seen a certain incident take place, they normally look out for witnesses. You know, when you are having a court case as well, you have to bring in two witnesses. And witnesses are people who have seen the thing firsthand. You know, they have seen the whole story. And their stories is always recognized and taken into consideration. Similarly, Jesus is the only proof of God, God the Father. And he always tells them, I have come from the Father and I know the Father. Father, if you know me, you know the Father. Yeah, whatever I do it with what the Father has asked me to do. So much of confidence in that, right? So now John is giving the people the blessings of grace, the blessings of peace from the one who was, who is to come. And then what else? From the seven spirits. Now we know who the seven spirits are. Holy Spirit in seven, with all his gifts. He gives them, this is all the blessings he's giving. Now he's giving the blessing of Christ. And he's giving the Christ blessing as a witness. First of all, as a witness. Then secondly, what he gives, he says, the firstborn of the dead. Yeah? The firstborn of the dead. Now the Greek word which is used for this, the firstborn, is called prototokos. Yeah? It's called prototokos. And it has two meanings. First is, which is the literally firstborn. Okay? Literally firstborn, prototokos has got two meanings. One is the firstborn, which is literally in the right sense as firstborn. That means, we are talking about the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection. He was the only one who gave his life on the cross, and he was the only one who resurrected, the first one to be resurrected. So he is the first one to be born again. He is born again through the resurrection. And we all believe in that. And since he was the firstborn, a second explanation is what? Since he was the firstborn, how many of you are firstborns here? First siblings? Me too. So in our time, in the Portuguese time, in the realm and all, I don't know in the Indian this thing, but in the Portuguese time they have. If you're a firstborn, half of what the property goes to you. Yeah, half of the property. And then the rest of the half, no, is also divided by your rest of the siblings. And in that also you get a part. How lovely it was, no? Selfish. But I didn't get anything, so no problem. Yeah. So that's exactly the right of a firstborn. You get a first, you got everything first from the heir, from the throne of God. That means from our, as if you are doing in the spirit, in this realm, that means you get it from the Father, whatever your Father property is. And if it is spiritual realm, you get much more. So we are talking about the same prototokos has got two meanings. One is the real firstborn. The second one is the inheritance of the firstborn, which you get in honor, you get in power, right? And everything like that. Now, when Paul also speaks of Jesus as the firstborn of all creation, you can find it in Colossians 1:15. The firstborn of all creations. Yeah, that means he says that the first place of honor belongs to honor and glory belongs to Jesus, and Jesus alone, because he's the firstborn. Nobody has done such a thing in the past, right? And nobody will ever do it in the future as well. Okay? So, Jesus, in other words, you know, the blessing of Jesus comes, first of all, as a what? First attribute. As a witness. Witness. Yeah, as a witness. Secondly, as a firstborn. Firstborn in the sense that he is the firstborn of everything. That means honor and glory goes to God. He is the heir to all the throne. To everything that God owns, he's the heir. He's the God of the living and the dead. So, two attributes. And the third one is what?
The ruler of kings.
The ruler of the kings of the earth. The ruler of the kings of the earth. Now, there is a psalm in Psalm 89, 27. It says, I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. In Psalms 89, verse 27, it says, I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. And this was, the psalmist was talking about the Messiah who is to come. Messiah who is to come. So, this title belonged to Jesus. Yeah, we know that he is the King of Kings. He is the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. This title was proclaimed so long back in Psalm 89 for Jesus, the Savior of the world. Is there any Savior of the world besides Jesus? Yeah, baby? She knows that there's no other Savior of the world, right? No other Savior of this world, right? Now you look at the story of the temptation of Jesus. Yeah. First was the bread. He said, turn the stones into bread. Jesus didn't do that. And secondly, he said, look, he takes him to the mountain and he says, well, look at all these things that you can see, they're all mine. The devil tells him. Jesus did not tell him that time, no, they are not yours, they're mine. He didn't say that. He accepted it. Then what did the devil say? Fall down at my feet, worship me, and I will give you half of this. Right? But did Jesus do that? Okay. Take an example. If Jesus had fallen at the devil's feet, take an example. Would the devil give him what he had promised?
No.
Why?
He's a liar.
He's a liar. Absolutely. So how many times do we fall into such a trap? Look at that. Look, you'll get all that. And we go running. Yes, we go. We do that something wrong, and then we come back, what? Empty-handed. Yeah? True or not? Jesus did not do that. He did not accept it. He did not accept it at all. But Jesus won over the evil one in which way? By giving himself up, by dying on the cross, by giving his blood up for each one, and then he legally took what the devil would not give him. He took the keys from the devil's hand, and today we belong to a God who is the owner of this whole world. No longer is the devil owner of this world. He is still, because of God's permission, he is still operating in this world very powerfully. That is why those who understand who we are, he is afraid of. If you know, now whom do you think is the devil actually going after? People who do not know the word of the God, Lord, in depth. If you know the word of the Lord in depth, will you and I be tempted by the evil one? Or will temptation comes? There's no dissing to it. But would we succumb to the temptation? Never. Because why? He is a defeated foe, no? He is a defeated foe. And only those we know who knows this word knows it. Then it's not only knowing, it's not only your knowledge that will save you from the lures of the devil. It is your action when the temptation comes. Even today I'm being tempted. Yeah, but now that is, I see it as an opportunity to gain blessings of God, because I know how he operates. He said the same lies to Jesus, and Jesus did not look back and gave him straightforward. He told the same lies to me, and I succumbed, and I was whipped, and hard way I learned it. Today I can proudly say that yes, 99 or 90% of the times I don't succumb to any temptation, which I used to do so very easily for now, because I know how to handle it. Now my words to him are, get behind me, Satan. You know, I know who is that. I belong to Jesus. So nothing of yours works into me. You are a defeated foe. Galatians 13 something says, no, that by Jesus' death, his teeth has been smashed. He says that, right? So the question today is, we believe that Jesus is our Messiah. We believe that we are Christians. We believe that what God has done for us is so powerful, so good, so great, so such a great example. But how many of us are taking heed of this and are behaving according to how Jesus did behave for men? No, don't raise up hands. But you know, it's something that we should understand. We are being afraid of the devil and all his moves because we are not taking seriously. Either we are not taking seriously what we have read. Secondly, we do not know what is read in the Bible. Or thirdly, we are not taking, we are just taking him for granted. Believe me, after Jesus, the devil is the most powerful. We cannot play with him without the name of Jesus. We cannot. He'll throttle us. Because Jesus himself said in John 10:10 that the devil comes to kill, steal and destroy. But I have come to give you life and life in its abundance. This is our brother Ishmael's favorite verse. You know, he likes to dwell on it because he's learned a lot from that verse. And I'm also glad about it. Okay, so remember that. He comes to kill, steal and destroy. Even I did not take this verse very seriously in my past time. But now I understand. Now I understand. He's not just going to give you a snoon, come on, a small pet, and he said, come on, no, be the same. He kills you. He's there to kill you. Right? And don't take any other word from him. As Brother Alan just now said, he's a liar. He's the father of lies. So never believe what he says. Okay? So now we are still on the graces, huh? Now we are still on the salutation of John. So he's giving us now Jesus. He's given us three of his attributes. He's a faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He's the ruler of the kings of, he's the king of kings, the lord of lords, right? There's nobody higher than him. Then, to him who loves us and freed us. Now, this is still Jesus they're talking about. What did Jesus do for men? Yeah? What did Jesus do for them? He's still telling us like whose blessings he's giving it to us. Yeah? So, if we just read it for a reading, it doesn't sort of make so much of sense. But if you go into if you break it up, then you understand who Jesus really is. When Father gives the last blessing, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, it'll make you wonder, you'll think about this part of it, that his blessing is not an ordinary blessing from the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. Who is the Father? Who is the Son? And who is this Holy Spirit? And when this blessing of that, the Almighty God comes upon us, do we have any chance or reason to fear? Do we have any reason to doubt? We belong to the Most High. Yeah? We should be so proud. Nothing can destroy us. But why are we afraid? Because we do not understand the depth of this meaning, the depth of these blessings. And that is why I'm trying to penetrate by the power of the Spirit to get it deep. Because once you get that understanding, you are joyful. The fullness of God, he says, I've come to give you life, and life in its abundance happens when you understand what God is doing in you, what he can do in you. Then you can face the enemy. Tomorrow, the enemies don't come in lions and tigers and all that. Sometimes they come in human beings. Today now, as we were just discussing, in anonymous place, there is riots. These are all the evil one coming in those forms. Now, if we are not equipped by the blood of the Lamb, by the knowledge of God, we will be afraid. But the moment you are, who can do anything to you? Yeah? And even if they do, what will they do? You'll be a martyr. A martyr is a straight who gave us the story? Asha, no, right here. That was a beautiful story. A person who was so much he was a drug addict, but not by choice. Right from the beginning, he was taking these drugs, and he came to such a stage where he used to go for confession, but Father would not accept his confession for the simple reason that he used to go for a confession, confess his sins, and come back again and do the same thing because he was so addicted. But he had a desire for the Lord. And then his only way, he said, he thought like, and Father stopped hearing confession, Father stopped giving him the communion because he was continuously, and he's an old man now, I mean then. And then he said, come on, the only way I can go to heaven is by being a martyr. And that, and then the civil war took place and all that stuff. And then he was killed. He was martyred. So definitely, and he became a saint. That's why. So, are you addicted to anything? Become a martyr. No. I mean, that's the power of the Lord. That's the power of the Lord. Nowadays, you know, you'll find Jesus is working very mightily. How many drug addicts have been set free? How many cancer patients have gone victory? Why? Only by the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. So now we have got a lot of faith formation. People are understanding the power of Jesus. Jesus is working mightily in our midst. You know, so all these blessings come from that Jesus. That same Jesus who was yesterday, today, forever. That same Jesus who came as a witness for us and for the whole generation. That same Jesus who loves us so much. And now he comes to today, what he does. Why does, and how much does he love us? Yeah, to what extent did he love us? He loved us to the extent of his death. In Revelations, you'll get it later on, 5 to 9, Revelations 5 verse 9, it says, He who was ransomed for God by the blood of the Lamb. And in Galatians 3:13, this is the one I liked very much, when Paul meant what he said, he spoke of him as being redeemed from the curse of the law. Every curse has been broken by Jesus on that cross, and Galatians 3:13 tells that. That's the thing when the devil has been, you know, he's a, have you ever seen the devil smile? Have you seen? I have. Okay. When he smiles, he'll never show his teeth. You know why? Because Jesus has smashed his teeth, he's got no teeth. Yeah? Jesus smashed his teeth, he's got no teeth. That's why he cannot smile. Right? That's why he's like a roaring lion. You know? Roaring lion and like a roaring lion are two different species, right? He just roars, he just barks like a dog, you know, he just barks. And the moment, how many of you have faced a barking dog on a lonely street? I did. When I was young, I was very scared of them, you know. But then as I grew up, I knew how to tackle them. When a dog barks at you, he comes after you, the moment you start running, he'll run behind you, right or wrong? And if you stop there and you look into his eyes, he will stop. Look into his eyes again, he will move off. The devil is exactly that. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right? James says that, right? Resist the devil is what? Just look at that. When he barks at you, when he says, I'm the ruin of God, he'll come, no? Just stand there and look at him and say, what? Yeah? Jesus. Out he goes. Yeah? Let your horror be for you. But don't listen. Jesus. He goes out. It was difficult for me, you know, when I was addicted to certain sins. They were my favorite sins. I don't want to spell them out to you. But whenever the temptations would come, no, I knew I had a choice to say, you know, get out. But I used to say, like, no, will this work? No, Lord, one more time and next time I'll not do it. No, next time I'll address this. And then I realized that, you know, the more you are sinking, you are going to that, you are allowing his foothold to come into it, He's going to take you very far. And after that, it's difficult to resist. Huh? It's so difficult to resist. That's why when I met the Lord and I understood him, how to sin. Now, at every instance, I immediately have to cut him at the root. Otherwise, he sin. So when you resist him, no, you don't need a break of the things to resist him. Immediately, as you said, in Satan, in the name of Jesus, get out. He's out. He'll come back again. He's a shameless guy. He'll come back. Right? One thing you have to learn from the devil, I love him. You know, for one reason, is that he never gives up. He never gives that. His stubbornness is something which I desire. I like it. But we can use that stubbornness against him now. All the time he uses stubbornness against me. And I succumb to it. But now I have changed the tracks. You know, with Jesus by my side, I'm saying, like, I want to give him back. You know, I want to give him back. And many a times he and I have a conversation. You know, we are quite good in conversing. And he comes to disturb me again. I tell him, devil, you are shameless, yaar. How many times have you, I'm telling you, you cannot get this thing. Go and catch somebody else, you know. And then he goes slowly, comes back again, another time. He will never, never give up. Okay? So, that's our Jesus. Then, next thing is what? See, then what he says, he has brought us by our sins, he has redeemed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving. Yeah, he's made us a kingdom. There's a quotation in Exodus 19:6. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus 19:6 tells us. Yeah. Now Jesus has done two things for us. He has given us royalty. Royalty. He is now, very often we go with our begging bowls to God. Sad, sad, sad. You know, we go to our begging bowls to God, and where is the royalty gone in it? Does a king's son go with a begging bowl to his father, who is a king? A prince, will he go to a begging bowl? No. But we, not understanding what we are, what title that God has, Jesus has given us, he's given us royalty. We are still with a begging bowl. There was a guy who had a desire to go on a cruise liner. And he saved from every dollar he had. He started saving. And he managed to get the amount required to go on for a holiday on a cruise liner. And so he bought his ticket, he went to the cruise, the cruise liner started, and they started moving into places. It came lunchtime, the bell rang, and everybody was invited for lunch in the dining hall. So everybody was having their lunch, and the captain was having a round, and he saw this guy sitting in the corner. He had bought a stiffen, you know, and he opened his stiffen and he was eating. So what are you doing here? He said, no, I've just bought some food for me. He said, why? He says, you have to go there and eat. No, but he says, I don't have any money. He says, you have bought a ticket, right? That ticket is inclusive of everything. So this is what we are doing. We are belonging to a royal priesthood. There is a banquet laid there out, and we are with our chapatis and bhaji. You know, a small thing. Not that chapatis and bhajis are bad. You know, it's good. But what I'm saying is, we are that. We are that. You know, we are leaving that big banquet which God has spread for us, and we are taking the small thing. Because we don't know who we are. The moment we know our royalty, now some known so many people, especially the non-Christians and all, they keep on attacking us, and we think that we are the minority. But we are the minority, yes, but we are greater than the majority, because that is our title. The royalty is not for everybody. Not everybody can be kings, right? The minority are the rulers of the world. And we are the minority in our country. That's why the majority is afraid of us. Ghar vapas aao, they say, you know. How can we come? How can we leave the God's kingdom and come to the, you know, the shattered kingdom of the human beings, right?
When these attacks on their own Christianity,
no? Yeah.
See, Adana put it very beautifully on Facebook, if you read it that time. Yeah. He said, I wonder why these people are so frightened of us being the minority. Just enough to understand.
Yes.
So why are they so frightened when they call us a minority, but why are they so frightened of our faith?
Exactly. We should ponder, right? Mm-hmm. Why is the 98% crowd afraid of the 2% of us? So we have got something good in it, no? The royal blood. Yeah. If only the royal blood was blue in color, it would be seen more. It would be recognized very easily, no? But God is good. Then, secondly, because we are the sons of King of Kings, He's given us royalty, and secondly, He has made us priests. You know, during the time of the Jews, a Jew could enter the temple, but he had the limitations. He could enter the courtyard of the Gentiles. Okay, he could enter that court. Second comes the courtyard of the ladies, you know, the women. He could enter that court. And the third was the court of the Israelites. So a Jew could come, enter into the court of the Gentiles, enter into the court of the ladies, and enter into the court of the Israelites. Beyond that, he could never enter, because beyond that is only the privilege of a priest to go closer to the Holy of Holies, because there's the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle there. Nobody else could go. You had to stop at that third court, right? Then only the priest was allowed, and the high priest was allowed only once a year to offer the sacrifice. Remember when Abraham and all, who's that? No. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. Yeah, Zechariah was offering the thing. That is the Holy of Holies, which only the priest could go. But then, what did Jesus do? He broke down all barriers with his. When the curtain was torn, when he was on the cross, the curtain was torn. You see, that was the time there was no barriers. Now we can go. We have just gone to the Blessed Sacrament just now. We come from there. Could we do that? Before Jesus, we could not do that. But now God has given us the chance. We can go. We can go to the throne of grace. No limitation. Nobody can stop you. Right? Now in these camps, you know, they had these, what do you call these camps? The war camps. All the people were jailed, and concentration camps, they were put inside. There were so many people who became saints. Why? They were tortured. They were killed. They were massacred. They were, you know, beaten. But they did not give up their communication with God. Even at that time, they did not give up in Germany, Nazis and all that were taking place that time. They did not give up the communication with God. So they said, okay, you kill my body, but how can you kill my relationship with the Lord? Now I'm sure. Our Father Tom, who is now abducted, I'm sure that is the way he's living. That's the way that's the grace which God is giving him to do. There's a purpose for it, and we will only know later on. You think he's going to be given just a bed of roses to sleep on? He must be tortured, day and night. But the grace of God comes handy at that time. And there will be, wherever the martyrs have poured their blood, Christianity grew a hundredfold. So that is what, that is why when you come to know the Lord so deeply, so intimately, you will not resist to die. You will not resist to die. You'll be willingly giving yourself up to die. Willingly. Did I say it last week? I don't remember about that guy who was on the, who was being a saint, was he was put on the roast pit, right? And when he was finished one side, he said, I'm finished one side, turn me the other side. He's been tortured, but still the grace of God made him even have humor before dying. He said, turn me on the other side, I'm already done on one side. That you can get only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. Right? So what do we learn today? We're still on the salutation, right? But we have learned today that who is Jesus? In depth. Tomorrow when you receive the blessing from Jesus, you go deep into your this and remember who you are in Jesus. Jesus is teaching you who you are. Yeah, from where the blessings come, from the witness of God, the God who gave himself up for us, to save us from sins. The God who's given us royalty. The God who tells us, don't worry, I am there with you. You know, how many times? Now is the time, dear brothers, it's so... It used to be happening to me as well. We feel like taking things very easy. Now we get out of this class and you go back to the trend of this world. But you have to resist that current. Go against the tide and say, no. From now onwards, I'm going to experience a little bit. You may not be able to do it completely, but a little bit today. I will remember who God is. I will remember who I am today. And with that, you get an extra boost. You get something, great. And I said, no. And tomorrow something comes with the same, which was affecting you in the past. Today you will be able to, understanding who you are, you will be able to confront it. Maybe not at 100%, but at least at 50%. It will decrease your faith. It will decrease that power in you. And then once you have that power, what have you? What disturbs you? Nothing. It's possible, dear brothers. So, and sisters, but just understand who you are. You understand your value. Each one of us, let the people put you down. People will give you big titles, which will put you down. But forget, you are not bothered. Look at the title which God has given you, a royal priesthood. You can enter to the throne of grace anytime you want. Nobody can stop you. You cannot enter Sultan Qaboos' palace, can you? They will stop you. You have got no authority. But we have got an authority to enter the King of Kings, the heavenly domain. And nobody can stop us. No angels, no principalities. Remember that. So how great you are. Okay, so with this we end for this session. Next Friday is the first Friday, so we will not have a session. We'll meet Friday after next. So in the meantime, please, Revelation, if you want to enjoy Revelation, go back, meditate on what you have learned so far, put it into practice, and then you see. Believe me, by the time we have come to 3 or 4, maybe maximum 10 chapters, or maybe 5 chapters also, you will find your life changed. That's a challenge. Okay, shall we start? Lord, we thank you for this afternoon session that you've blessed us with, Lord. showing us who you are, Lord Jesus. What you do for us, what you did for us, and what you still continue to do for us, Lord. You have elevated us, Lord, from the ground level unto the heavenly level, Lord God. But forgive us for the times that we have not understood this reality, Lord, and not taken advantage of it, Lord. But sweet Holy Spirit, this evening we pray for everyone present here, Lord, that you begin, O God, to revive our spirits. Revive our drooping spirits, Lord. Give us the energy, give us the strength, give us the understanding, give us the power to know that only you, Lord, only you are our God, and only you we belong to, Lord. Nobody else. Let the doctors say anything. Let the evil ones say anything. But we are not taking it, Lord. Because we know that we are royalty, we are royal priesthood. Given to us, this title is given to us only by you and nobody else, Lord God. And your word says that. Thank you, Lord God, for this understanding that you've given us today. And we believe, O God, and we make a pledge that we will try our best never to get to lose sight of this, to keep this as our focus, that we are a royalty, Lord God, that we belong to a God who is all-powerful and almighty, Lord. And Lord, as our team goes to the hospital for their visits, Lord, let them also go, Lord God, with this special, with this new zeal in mind, Lord, knowing that they are not ordinary people, but they are the royal people, Lord God, going with a royal word, O Lord God, which will touch the hearts of the patients, Lord God, and every patient will move out, Lord God, healed by the blood of the Lamb, Lord. Lord, they will want to serve the same God that we serve, Lord God, whom they see in these brothers and sisters who are going there, Lord God. And Lord, for all of us who are going back at home, we pray for that you take us safely home, Lord God, for the protection of our vehicles, Lord, to save us from the snares of every accident, Lord God, and help us, Lord, to be channels, Lord God, of strength to those who are weak, Lord God, channels of joy, O Lord God, to those who are in sorrow, Lord God. And Lord, let us, each one of us, strive with whatever strength we have, Lord God, to make this world a better place to live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever. Jesus is Lord.
And all God's children say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, everybody. God bless. See you all week. No, not week. 2 weeks later.
Yes.